Now, more detail on the Coalition's direct action plan to tackle climate change. The latest news that, companies who fail to meet their emissions reduction targets will not be penalised. This proposal's included in a green paper, open now for comment. Now, under direct action, companies would get individual baseline emissions reduction targets. The federal government purchasing the lowest cost carbon abatement to meet its target of 5% reduction in emissions by 2020. The government's already stated it won't allocate more money from the budget if its direct action plan fails to meet that 5% target. Now this news on the lack of sanction for companies that breach their targets. We've invited Environment Minister Greg Hunt onto the program this morning. He was not available. But for more on this story, joined by the CEO of the Climate Institute, John Connor. John, welcome.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Are you surprised by this latest detail and the government's direct action plan?
Oh, look, this is part of their green paper, which is part of the consultative process as we're slowly beginning to get a bit more shape on the government's plans. This was released just before Christmas on the 20th, and it's one of the core problems. There are a few with the government's proposed approach that they don't intend to make companies take responsibility for the emissions, the carbon pollution that they create, whilst at the same time they're accepting that climate change is real, that we need strong and effective policy. And it's a very big problem if they do continue with either of these proposals, which effectively just continue a very voluntary approach in an area where we're going to see very significant increases, particularly from the expansion of coal and liquefied natural gas production facilities.
So let's say that I'm a high carbon polluting business. What happens to my operations under direct action? What changes do I need to take?
Well, government's been big on incentivisation, to use a term I think John Howard used once, but that this is actually a voluntary approach and that this will unlock abatement that's out there. The problem is that these are companies that don't normally like to do things they don't have to do. We're seeing it's only because we've had quite an effective regulatory mechanism and a clean energy regulator that everyone, apart from, I think, Clive Palmer's nickel operations, have actually have been operating under the clean energy laws and the carbon requirements. But most of these guys are very keen to maximise the profits and aren't that keen to make voluntary contributions, particularly when you add this with a problem within the Green Paper's proposal as well, is that they're only going to commit to pay for reductions of about 5 years. And when we're talking about plants that have a 40-year life, such as power stations or some of these LNG productions, there's just no way they're going to factor in that on the hope that this policy will continue over that full life.
And how does this compare with the existing situation under the previous government's carbon tax?
Well, under the previous carbon laws, we had almost 400 companies, which were the biggest emitters, that had to. I mean, they're reporting their emissions and they were actually having to, as of July next year, I mean, they were having to make payments for those emissions. And as of July next year, when the system moved to a carbon market where we actually had a limit on pollution, which was steadily declining, would be have a clearer commitment to reduce pollution. But most importantly about the system, which has been little understood, is that it had a long life. And so it was clear to those companies that these sorts of restrictions were going to be there for many, many years. It then made sense over the life of their investment to build in cleaner technologies and cleaner alternatives.
What's your sense, John Connor, of the government's commitment in this area? It says, as you say earlier, that it is convinced of the human causes of climate change and the need for action. Is that fulfilled in their policy ideas thus far?
Well, I think, to be generous, their credibility is hanging by a thread. They do still make those statements. I was in the Warsaw for the climate talks. They didn't actually walk away from their up to 25% reduction targets. Everyone keeps focusing on this 5% figure, but they still have international commitments of up to 25% reductions by 2020. And they're the only serious targets. The 5% were reductions, if everyone else did that, would have us heading towards 4 degrees warming, which would be definitely against Australia's national interest, massively increasing our costs for business and as well as for agriculture and for our cities and our country towns in terms of the extremes that we would face. And so this is a question about national interest. It's about risk management, and a voluntary approach to risk management is no approach at all.
John Connor, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jonathan.
John Connor, he's CEO of the Climate Institute.